Dubai Eye 103.8. It's The Agenda, your mid-morning phone-in, and the lines are now live.
Join the conversation on 04-871-5500.
Tom Burke alongside Serena Kelly, who's joined us live in the studio. Serena, thanks very much indeed for being with us.
Anytime, always a pleasure.
And it's been something of a 24 hours, has it not, for The Agenda, for all the team down here at Dubai Eye, and of course the ARN News team. You have been great partners with us in our hunt for John.
That's
over the last
right.
24 hours.
Well, just to give you a bit of a recap, so if you did miss this unvolving, developing situation, so we had a lovely couple visiting a family here in the UAE, and they were in a shopping centre, and the husband, Peter, found that he was choking, and a stranger, passerby, ended up saving his life by performing the Heimlich manoeuvre. And within all that, you know, chaos and emergency services coming, unfortunately, they didn't manage to thank the man who saved him. But they did find out that his name was John. So obviously, The Agenda ended up talking about it more and more. And go on, Tom.
Well, what happened after the show? Obviously, we got a huge response from a number of people during the show. And then after the show, I must say a huge thanks to Adam and Sophia Ashcroft, who reached out to me after the show saying, we might have a bit of information that might be interesting to you. Adam said, you might want to call my dad. He's over in the UK at the moment. He is called John, but he was around the Spinneys and the pharmacy in the Springs downtown area on Sunday. This is John's number. Give him a call and see what he says. So we did exactly that. ARN News team and Zina Zellemeyer called John Ashcroft and asked him what he was up to over the weekend. Well, John was very happy to talk, and he told us what he was thinking when he saw Peter choking.
I was a bit reluctant to get involved, but I then realised that two things were happening, that the situation was getting worse and he was getting into more and more difficulty breathing. And so I sort of approached his wife and said, look, I'm not a first aider. I've done some first aid training. I've never done this before, but would you like me to help? And by this time, Peter was getting into a real state. So I just got involved, basically speaking, and did my best to sort him out, which seems to have worked.
Seems to have worked. Why? And then some, because Peter is here in studio alongside his lovely wife, Karen, as well. To Peter Greiner, thank you so much indeed for being with us, Peter, this morning.
You're welcome. It's nice to be here.
It's nice to be here. And a lot of that is down to the man that we just heard there on the phone. Obviously, John Ashcroft over in the UK at the moment. Just repeating there to us yesterday what he was thinking on the moment of coming across a stricken Peter Greiner. Have you had an opportunity to speak to John since we were able to locate him?
Yep, I managed to get him yesterday on the phone in the UK, and we had a long discussion and a lot of talks. Of course, many, many thank you from my side, and we promised to stay in contact.
Is it an extraordinary story? And one thing that it has sort of given us the opportunity to do, Peter, is sort of reflect on the community aspect that still exists here in the UAE. A complete stranger came to your aid on last Sunday. And since then as well, we've been able to identify him and thank him, not just for you personally, from the whole community. Does that give you a little bit of hope that that community spirit still exists here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't believe it. I honestly was in tears when I heard it.
It's been a very emotional time. I can understand that for you, Peter. It's been an emotional time for all the family, Karen.
Yes.
An amazing time to sort of reflect on what is important in life.
That's for sure. It really has. And the people in the pharmacy were absolutely fantastic. But the scary part is that nobody knew what to do until John walked in. John tried the Heimlich, which didn't work. By this stage, Peter was turning blue. And so he lay him on the floor with the help of people standing around and gave him mouth to mouth. Suddenly, out popped this big piece of onion that had been lodged in his throat.
It is an extraordinary. Have you kept the onion or not as a little memento?
No, I crunched it up as small as I could.
Listen, that man, John Ashcroft, who we've been able to identify, you mentioned there that, you know, in East Road to that environment, had he not been there, it doesn't even bear thinking about as well as to what would have happened. You had an opportunity to speak to him yesterday. What were you able to say to John?
No, I didn't speak to him. Peter spoke to him.
Well, by the power of technology and by the power of a very, very alarm clock for a certain John Ashcroft over in the UK, we're able to connect you now. John, first and foremost, thank you for getting up at the crack of dawn to speak to us here in Dubai.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a huge pleasure, actually.
Listen, let's get your thoughts first and foremost, John, on the incident itself. What do you think provoked you to, as we heard from your little clip there when you were speaking to the news team, to get involved?
Well, I think one always has a slight reluctance to initially get involved. But when I saw the situation developing and that I realised that there was nobody in the shop that was going to be able to help him, I sort of dug deep into my own thoughts. And I had done some first aid training. I am involved in a number of sports that where safety is of paramount importance. So I'm, you know, quite safety conscious. And I thought, well, if I don't do something, nobody else is going to do it. So I sort of pushed my way in and I asked Karen if it was okay if I took over, and she was in full agreement, thankfully. And so I just sort of carried on and did what best I could.
When you mentioned the a sort of reluctance as well, is that something that you saw from other standers-by that were involved in the situation? Is there a sort of overall reluctance for people to get involved?
Well, I think there's a natural nervousness. You know, if it's, you know, you don't, first of all, it's quite a very personal thing, this, and you, there are other people sort of hovering around the place. So, but I think, and that's a personal thing, that's nothing to do with the law, but when I did my first aid training, I was told by the nurse, very highly qualified nurse, who had worked in accident emergency at Bristol Royal Infirmary, that you need to be very, very careful under these circumstances because the law will not protect you if something goes wrong. Mm. She herself had said that she had driven past a car accident, and her daughter, who was in the car, said, "Why don't you stop, Mummy?" And she said, "I'm not allowed to. I can't stop." Mm. And so there is this legal thing. And I think I understand that there is the Samaritan Act. I think that has been passed by law, isn't it, now? So that these sorts of acts where people can help are now, you know, going to be allow people to be much more proactive and help each other and get involved.
Exactly that, John. As we were discussing yesterday, yeah, this new Rescuer Protection Act, which has now, in theory, been passed in draft form. It's now just waiting for approval into law, which will be a great move forward. We've got Peter alongside us here. I know you had a long chat with Peter and had the opportunity to chat with him on the phone yesterday as well. So I'm sure we're going over all ground here. But Peter, again, you've got your guardian angel on the phone at the moment, your new friend, John, as well. What would you like to say to John on the phone this morning?
Well, not much of what I said yesterday. Thank you very much, John. You know, if you weren't there, I wouldn't be sitting here now. I know that. So thank you with the bottom of my heart.
Well, thank you, Peter. I mean, it's a very emotional time for both of us. I was very busy that evening and I didn't have time to think about it really until the morning. And then I was having my breakfast and I thought, well, you and I are both grandfathers. We're probably both sitting there. You're having your grandfather, your breakfast with your grandchildren. I thought it could have been a very, very different story. So that filled me with quite a lot of emotion. And I was just very thankful that I was able to help in some way.
Well, did it make a bit of a difference if we both also shipping people or seafaring people or whatever?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a friendship and brotherhood there.
There we go.
You come to a man in need. Karen is alongside us. Karen, you didn't get an opportunity to speak to John yesterday. You get that opportunity this morning. What would you like to say to the man that saved your husband?
Hi, John. I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I thank you so much, because if it wasn't for you, I would be sitting here alone. Thank you, John.
Oh, Karen, that's the most wonderful thing to say. I mean, you were a tower of strength, actually. You were very resolute, you're very calm, but you made your presence really well felt. And I think that you gave me encouragement to go forward and to do what I could. And I think you played a huge part in this. Well done, you. Very, very calm and collected. Well done. Thank you.
Well, you were able to give me that calm because I just put my trust in you. And, yeah, you were wonderful.
Thank you so much. Very kind of you.
John, it's a story that has caught the imagination of so many here. As you say, it's had an impact on you, not just the Grainier family here in the UAE. So many other people sending their comments in, too many to get through at the moment. I'm not going to keep you any longer, though, because I know it's the crack of dawn over in the UK. And I believe you're on the way to an airport at the moment to get on the flight. You're going yacht racing, is that right?
Yeah, there's a big yacht race in the Caribbean called the Caribbean 600, 600 nautical miles, and so I'm joining a boat over there, and it's going to be a very exciting race. I'm looking forward to it very much.
Who knows? Let's hope the first aid skills aren't called upon during the race itself as well. But listen, enjoy that. You deserve everything that comes your way. John, thank you so much indeed for taking time to speak to us this morning. We'll definitely catch up when you're next back here in the UAE.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, thanks to John, and I hope he sails well as well. And is there anything in that, Peter? I mean, you mentioned there the sort of nautical code, being men of boats as well. You love your sailing, your boating as well. That the fact that people just won't stand by and see somebody in distress.
I think it's grained into you. I spent my life at sea until I was a captain, and then I retired. So I've been around the world, I've been lots of ways to Dubai, and it's a brotherhood of sailors, you could call it.
You're listening to The Agenda.
It's all about your news and your views.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
We're in conversation with Peter and Karen Greiner. They're here in studio. You'll remember that Peter was the subject of our conversation yesterday. We set out a little plea, a little search for John. John has been located, and John is on his way down to the Caribbean to get onto a boat as part of a yacht race. Not, though, after his extraordinary act of charity in many ways. He helped Peter, who was obviously in distress, as was his wife Karen and those around him. He performed the Heimlich manoeuvre. He performed other basic medical procedures. And Peter's here to tell that story. A story that has caught the imagination. The story that's got people talking as well. Zines.
We've got a lot of listeners texting in. This is incredible. We've also got a few questions. Remember yesterday, this whole story has sparked a debate. Khaled saying, if I had the opportunity to help someone in a similar situation as Peter, what does the local law say? Should I help the person or should I stay aside? Well, according to Rebecca Kelly yesterday of Morgan Lewis, you have the obligation to help within your capacity. So if you are not first aid trained, if you don't know anything on administering CPR or using the Heimlich maneuver, you don't have to do those things. The least you can do is call emergency services. Standing there doing nothing is even worse and might get you in trouble.
I think the other thing that this whole situation has provoked is this conversation. And a lot of people are having this conversation about this so-called Samaritan law or the rescue protection law that we know the draft has been approved. It's just waiting for final approval to law by the FNC at the moment. So it can only be a good move. Peter's here in studio to tell his story alongside his wife. And I suppose, Peter, that is part and parcel of the success of this whole story at the moment. The one success is that you and I are having this conversation mano a mano at the moment. Sure. Here in the studio. But the fact is we're having that wider conversation about what is a grey area in the law here at the moment.
I think it's fantastic to have this, and I got such a large audience to listen to it. You know, it spreads the word more around for people to get involved. But the one thing I missed saying, that when I came out, I had the paramedics arriving, and they were absolutely fantastic. Yeah. For an hour, they looked up with ECG and blood pressure and everything else. It was fantastic. Mm.
So. No, the rapid response here is extraordinary as well. It's just, it's so interesting. We're having this conversation. We had that conversation yesterday on the radio. It has snowballed. You open the national newspaper today, and what's one of the big stories there? A young mother launched a search for two women who saved her life after she choked on her food at a restaurant in Dubai. Emma, who was asked not to be named, had difficulties breathing after a piece of mango became lodged in her throat while she was dining in a restaurant in Sheikhzayed Road. Failing to get their names at the time, following the shock incident, she later launched a hunt on the British Mums Dubai Facebook page for the two women who came to her aid. This is a story that was brought to our attention yesterday.
Sure.
So not only is onion to blame here, mangoes as well. Try and avoid those as well, Peter, right?
I stay away from mangoes.
look, you guys are no strangers, Karen, to the UAE. You're no strangers to Dubai. Has this incident, has this changed your opinion of the place in any way, Karen? Or has it just sort of encouraged you to come back more?
Well, you know, we've been coming here for now for 30 years and our son lives here and we love Dubai. Mm. And it's lovely to know that people are so caring.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And it's a great example of that fact that we mentioned there, that the community is still vibrant. Well, I won't keep you any longer because I know that you've probably got to go and pick up the kids and bits and pieces. You've got all sorts of duties to get through today.
I have to go for check-up at the hospital.
Oh, and check-up as well. Well, we're not going to stop that. That's for sure, Peter. We will make sure that you get your way over there. To Peter and to Karen Grainer, thank you so much indeed. Thanks for joining us. It is such a nice, it's so nice to be able to say that it's here. We're here on good terms and we're here for good reasons as well, so we'll keep you no longer. Peter, thank you to you.
All I could say, thank you so much to the radio station, to you guys. You've done an amazing job.
Not
really
at all.
To track down John, I mean, I still can't remember.
Well, it's been an emotional time for you, Peter, as we can see there. It's still an emotional time for us all as well. To you, Karen, as well, thank you so much indeed.
Thank you very much for having us. It's been lovely being here.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.